Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Rings Radio, your weekly MMA review show right here at ringsradio.com, with a special thanks to unfilteredmma.com. I am Paul Scorcho Laporte, my co-host, as always, Jeff Shooter Graham. Shooter?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. The pump monkey is not with us today. He is currently mourning the horrific disappointment that is Jake O'Brien. Which we'll be talking about when we go over the Dream 15 card.
Thank God.
In addition, we will hopefully have former UFC lightweight champion and legend Jens Pulver joining us on the show if he returns our texts and then our subsequent call.
He has yet to fail us, so I believe Jens will be joining us.
I'm wrestling a tiger right now. Just give me a minute.
Hey, guys, come on, man. I got to wrestle this tiger. Damn, this tiger's hungry. I tell you, man. You know, one time I was looking for tiger. Okay, dude. You know, Tony's a tiger. He has cereal. You know what I mean. I love cereal, man.
What do you think about that James Toney fighting Randy Couture, man? we'll go through the sack and... this is gonna be. We're kind of a dry spell of the in the MMA world. Very rarely, this is like 3 weeks, you know, that we're gonna be going without probably a notable MMA card, practically.
Yeah, I know. It's summer.
I know, but usually there's something, you know, every other week, roughly, with between Dream, you know, and Strikeforce and UFC and.
Well, you know, the nice thing was last night I got to. Go up to Michigan, like I usually do once every other month or so, and I got to go to a Ground and Pound card, Ground and Pound 16, and hang out with our friends, Shannon and TJ from FightMichigan.com, and it was all good.
Twin cannons! I'll say it every time you mention her name.
Of course you will. So anyway, I was standing there talking to Shannon.
Twin cannons!
And, you know, Paul Simpson, who also runs Ground and Pound Promotions, and he was worried because attendance for this particular card, let me just say this about the card was good. There were some technical difficulties, as always happens, especially at, you know, these smaller shows, these regional promotions. They still put on a quality effort. He was a little concerned that the gate wasn't what they thought it should be, although the place was packed. And both Shannon and I, huh?
People sneaking in, or
he was trying. I guess they were really. I mean, they wouldn't let me in for like 5 minutes. I'm sitting there. I'm like, you know me.
Stick your eye into the scanner, Mr. Graham.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyway, so I was talking to Shannon about it, and see, you missed your cue, dude.
Twin cannon!
Thank you. All right. And she had said and brought up a good point that, you know, it's summertime. People aren't as into MMA as they are in the summer.
Not really?
No, they're at least not around, you know, not around the tri-state area over here.
That's
because
weird, though. I mean,
winter,
the summer, there's
these cards are packed.
That's weird. I don't get that because, I mean, the winter, there's more competition, you think. There's football going on.
Yeah, but football doesn't
have
paper
to do in the winter. Well, that's true. But, I mean, yeah,
that's the thing. In the summertime, people want to go outside. They want to drink beer. They want to goof around. If it's going to be, you know.
Drink beer for an MMA? I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I've noticed a drop-off, too. You know, I mean,
summer is like the partying thing, you know, the partying season. And you think, you know, better way to party and go watch some guys beat each other up. I mean,
well, that's true.
Strange.
That's true.
I mean, I understand. And, you know, it could very well be true. I don't know because I don't have any mixed martial arts cards in New York. But it just seems like backwards logic to me. I don't know.
Maybe you need to move into the 21st century here in Ohio.
Especially maybe I need to move somewhere else.
Somewhere where they have fighting. Well, anyway, big thanks to Paul, Rocky, and everybody, Jake, and everybody with Ground and Pound. You guys are great. Had a good time. Next week, I will be going to the Ohio Cage Combat Show. And if you happen to be there in Toledo, Ohio, at the Lucas County Rec Center, very good friend of the show, Mike Widmer, is making his pro debut there. So we'll be there. And also TJ and Shannon.
Twin Cannon!
From FightMichigan.com will also be foraying into Ohio to watch the card with me.
They're so. Treading into uncharted territory. FightOhio.com.
Yeah, they come over the line from Michigan into Ohio. You all ain't welcome here.
We don't appreciate your kind.
Yeah, we don't like your kind. All right. Well, anyway, yeah, that's my gratuitous speech on what I did last night and what I'm doing this coming weekend. So unless you've got something, why don't we go ahead and start the sack? You had to know this was coming. Come on, man.
I was just checking right now to make sure the show was still recording.
Well, that's always good.
This is how professional we are here. I wonder if the show is actually recording or not. Let's find out. There's your music. Dog and Tony show we're running here. They're professional.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the sack. My name is Jeff Shooter Graham. It is Sunday, July 11th, 2010, and we're off and running.
See the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. No?
Uriah Faber will not be fighting.
He's kind of like a munchkin. Sorry. That's a good segue, I thought.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. Uriah Faber will not be making his debut at 135 at WEC 50. WEC 50.
WEC.
He has an undisclosed injury that is keeping him out of the fight. Who's the fight with Mitsugaki, wasn't it? Takaya Mitsugaki?
Yes, it was Takaya Mitsugaki who was going to be taking on. I was looking forward to that fight.
So was I. I was really going to see how the cut affected Faber, and Mitsugaki is definitely one of those guys I really love to watch fight.
I wonder if they're going to give Mitsugaki another fight.
They say as of now, there's yeah. They said right now there is no word on whether there will be a replacement opponent or not.
Yeah.
And they're also not saying when, you know, Faber. I've heard a couple different things. Above board, I've just heard it's this secret injury. Otherwise, the other stuff I've been hearing is that Faber is not so much terribly. It's an accumulation of injuries he's had over the past year or so, and he just didn't feel like he was going to be able to do this and be competitive, so he bowed out.
Could be,
which I would believe. I mean,
but saying that. It's not as manly as saying, oh, he got hurt in training. It's like, he's just too banged up right now. People are like, oh, pussy. Oh, this guy fought two broken hands. He can't fight the guy.
Exactly. He was practically crippled with leg kicks. Wuss. what is this?
Ooh.
Oh, how did I miss this? Okay, UFC president Dana White was recently questioned by a fan on his official Twitter account as to why he would sign former Pride and K-1 star Mark Hunt.
Hunt, because he's awesome.
Hunt, who's currently 5-6.
He always has, like, entertaining fights. Just a thought.
Well, it said he's 0-5 in his last five MMA fights, dropping all of them in the first round, no less. As to be expected, White was not shy and didn't duck the difficult question. In fact, he gave the response within 20 minutes addressing the situation. Part of the Pride deal, we contractually owe him fights from our purchase of the company.
Oh, bam. Really? Wow.
There it is.
That's kind of a late time to be cashing. They've just been pushing that shit back as far as they can.
Yeah,
How long we got to wait before he give you a fight? What, 5 years? All right.
Yeah, fine. You'll have it. Mark Hunt will be fighting at UFC 119 against newcomer Sean McCorkle, who's 9-0.
Well, you know what? I'm hoping that Hunt uses this opportunity to get revitalized and to put on a good show. He's going to have to make 265, which is the first time he's ever had to do that. So, people forget this guy's really dangerous. K-1 Grand Prix champ. Yep. You know, this guy's a tough dude, still regarded as having one of the best chins in mixed martial arts. And, he's been fun to watch, and he's on a losing streak, but I'm hoping that this will turn it around.
If for some reason he falls to the mighty McCorkle, don't expect to see Mark Hunt in the UFC anymore.
Yeah, probably not. This is probably one and done if he loses.
Right, exactly. The UFC is contractually obligated to use him, but that's one of the improvisos they write into every one of their contracts is after you lose a fight, they have the right to terminate you anytime they want.
Are they contractually obligated to use the guy in the diaper too?
I don't think so.
That would be hilarious.
That would be. I still want the Pride Lady. We talk about this.
Oh yeah, we're absolutely.
I want her so bad. I think she would. Well, I mean, I don't want her so bad.
So bad.
I want her to come and announce the fights so bad.
Yeah.
But
awesome.
Or I would be almost as happy hearing Bruce Buffer do his rendition of the Pride Lady.
He's getting close though.
Tito Ortiz.
That'd be amazing.
Oh, well, in the Blood and the Water file, Bobby Lashley wants to fight Fedor next.
Good. easy comeback fight for Fedor.
He said on Inside,
kill him.
He was on last week's Inside MMA and made no bones about it. He wants Fedor. Good God.
Wow, what in the world is wrong with you?
he lost once to one of the arguably best jiu-jitsu fighters in the entire world.
Yeah.
And you want him, Bobby Lashley.
Okay. Yeah.
Careful. You're a cardio machine.
Careful what ye wishes for.
In a special Strikeforce crazy man event, Fedor will be fighting Bobby Lashley in the hallway leading to the cage on his way to go fight someone else.
It's a warm-up fight.
Yeah, as, during the walkout. If Bobby Lashley manages to make it to the cage, Fedor considers it a...
Whoa. Holy sleepy robot, Batman. You're connected. There you go.
Dream 15's
your connection
good.
Your connection is just gone to hell.
Let it all out.
You can't hear me a bit, can you?
Gale Sonnen music.
You can't hear me even a little bit, can you? Nope. Not at all. And I think he's gone. Bear with us a moment, folks, while we handle some technical difficulties. Yeah. And we're back. Sorry about that, folks. A little bit of a screw up. Shooter's computer sucks. Apologize,
hey, man.
Sleepy techno robot moment.
It's a Commodore 64. What are you
doing? Leave me alone.
The string broke between our cans.
That's right.
All right. Give me crazy Chael Sonnen music, please.
That's right. We're going to make it up for you here, folks.
Yep, here it comes.
Technical difficulties made up for by...
That's right, everybody. It's the crazy Chael Sonnen. All right. Chael Sonnen has spewed more insane crap out of his mouth, and but damn, it's entertaining. Rogério Nogueira, Little Nog, and a training partner of Anderson Silva spoke this week about the upcoming middleweight contest between Anderson Silva and Chael Sonnen. He picked Silva to win, no surprise there, and stated that Sonnen didn't even deserve to be in the cage with the champ. Little Nog has earned himself the wrath of
Chael. Oh, noes.
Yes, and Sonnen released this statement. Little Nog, I read your appraisal of the upcoming fight betwixt your pal Anderson and yours truly, and I'll be damned, you are one sharp dude, about as sharp as a bag of wet mice. Do yourself a favor. Have a mouthpiece permanently installed in your mouth so you can't speak at all. Have them feed you with a tube like a coma patient. You're not doing Anderson any good, and you're sinking your own ship too. You say I'm not qualified to fight Anderson, which means that the UFC brain trust that thinks I am and your bosses are idiots. It also means Ed Soares, Anderson's manager, and your manager too, doesn't know what he's doing. Smooth guy. Very smooth. Do you have any other brilliant ideas or scathing critiques?
That's exactly what he was saying, too. Not you're so pathetic that you don't belong in the same cage as Anderson Silva. Man, this guy's going to make a great politician.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So do you have any other brilliant ideas or scathing critiques that you care to impart to the UFC brass or your own manager? Maybe that shot Sokaju hit you with was worse than it looked, if that's possible.
Invoking the name of Sokaju from 2006, who boy.
Mm-hmm.
This would, now, you know, Son's been entertaining in the past. This one really just kind of annoys me.
Oh, no, no, wait.
Now it's getting, like, super childish, like, mega childish, and yeah.
Well, here we get to, and anyone who's a fan of the show who's listening, by the time I finish this rant, you'll know why Scorcho is so annoyed. We move on. I digress. You seem like a nice enough guy, and I really have no beef with you. Oh, and speaking of beef, if you can turn over your disc at the Rodizo once in a while and get down to 185, there's going to be a new sheriff there in less than a month who will be happy to ride you right back out of town on a rail. Okay, so Chael Sonnen wants to ride Little Nog. All right. Anyway, so please see this as a kind of well-intentioned advice that I would give to a friend or training partner. Oh, and if you lose a few, you looked like Roy Nelson in a Frankenstein mask for the Brills fight, which you lost, buddy boy, we can scrap in the fall.
Ugh.
Chael Sonnen is insane.
I cannot wait. until Anderson Silva. I hope Anderson Silva puts the worst beating possible on him. But, you know, honestly, for all the garbage that Sonnen's been talking, it's not... If I wasn't going to be getting the freaking thing already, it wouldn't be enticing me into getting this fight anymore.
Just for the fact one-sided. That he's so insane. And, I mean, the thing is... And, you know, maybe because Anderson's been so dominating, and because Sonnen himself is just being such a loudmouth, we're forgetting the fact Chael Sonnen is a world-class competitor.
He's a good fighter, but who are the people he always has the toughest time with? Strikers and grapplers.
What else is there?
Well, wrestlers, which is most his two most notable wins are over Yushin Okami and over Nate Marquardt.
Right.
Marquardt's got good jiu-jitsu, but, you know, he's predominantly known as a wrestler. Same thing with Okami.
But you have to admit, though, the two people he has, people who hit him and people who submit him.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's the two types of fighters he has trouble with. Throw him in there against the wrestler, he'll do just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Let me do some research on old Chael Boy here, because I want to see how he does against people who are striklers. I'm a strikler for the facts.
He beat Paulo Thiago.
He beat Paulo Thiago, okay.
The second time. The first time he did not tap. Ah! Oh, God! It hurts so bad! You're killing me!
He's got an infamous decision over Dan Miller, who's a wrestler and a grappler. Mm. You know, went over Paulo Filho, who was a shell of his former self at the time.
I meant Filho.
Yeah, he was a shell of his former self at the time.
A drug-addled... crazy man.
Yeah, the first time he lost, but he didn't tap out.
Yeah, he didn't tap out, he just...
That's a win over Casey Uscola, oh boy.
Oh, wow.
Lost to Jeremy Horn, lost to Babalu, beat Tim Crater.
Crazy Tim.
Lost to Terry Martin, lost to Jeremy Horn again.
Oh, here Jeremy, just got
Ichiro
that number.
Ichiro Yamamaya, whoever that is, lost to Jeremy Horn again.
How can you fight and lose to the same guy three times?
Manny Gamburian.
Manville, yeah.
Beat Jason Lambert, lost to Forrest Griffin, Drew Gono, lost.
Now, let's remember that Manny Gamburian is currently the number one contender for the 145-pound title.
Lost to Forrest Griffin, Drew Gono, lost to Prangley.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and notable wins? Well, Nate Marquardt, Yushin Okami, Dan Miller, and a shell of his former self, Paulo Filho.
Yes, put him in there with arguably one of the greatest fighters in the entire world.
I mean, like, you know, and it's, the sad thing is before he went completely batshit out of his mind, I actually liked Chael Sonnen. I rooted for him in the Okami fight. I was happy when he won the Marquardt fight. But he's just buried himself into such a big hole. I get it. You don't like Anderson Silva. You want to beat him. But the fact that you've gone on a tirade against every single solitary person in mixed martial arts, it seems, it just makes you seem ridiculous. Because you know what? You're spending all this time saying, oh, Anderson Silva is an asshole. Ah, oh, he's not a good... You know, and he, Anderson has said not a word about this guy. Nothing.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing, is hype builds a fight when one guy talks and then the other guy responds. When one guy talks... and then talks, and then talks, and then talks, and the other guy says nothing. Now it's just somebody beating up a crazy man.
That's true.
You go to the convenience store at 3 in the morning and watch somebody beat up a crazy man. And you ain't got to
beat up a crazy man. That's right. You don't have to pay $50. You can get online right now at bumfights.com.
Go to bumfights and watch somebody
crazy
beat up a crazy
get beat
man.
Up.
Simple as that.
Thing is, though, what makes you... I do, man. I admit it. I bought into the hype in that I want to see Anderson punish this guy. I want to see Anderson. And because no matter what, Anderson can't win. Anderson cannot win this fight. He goes out there and crushes him, knocks him out. Sonnen's going to be like, yeah, if I hadn't goaded him into it, you'd never see that electrifying performance.
No. Like I said, I part of me really kind of hopes that Anderson just stands back there and just flick and does nothing and dances around him for 25 minutes.
Oh, no. He'll lose his job.
Nah, he's not going to lose his job.
Oh, no, you heard Dana. He'll cut him.
Shit, what Dana says.
He'll be the only champion who fights on the undercard. Whatever.
I don't know.
I'm sure, he's going to fight on the undercard. He's still going to get $200,000 for his fight, but...
You're right, though. I I don't want to see that. I do want to see Anderson Silva pummel Chael Sonnen into dust. And then, you know what? Once, you know, once his face heals up and he gets some false teeth put in, and then he can say whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, exactly. Like I said, the fact of the matter is that if I wasn't already going to get this fight because I get everything, it wouldn't make me get this anymore, because I don't care how much jabber Sonnen throws out there, and I know that we've, you know, made a... I'm kind of shooting the horse here because it's one of our weekly segments.
Yeah.
But it's just a crazy guy rambling crap when he has no basis to back it up. You've lost to almost every single guy you've ever fought that had either of Anderson Silva's two strengths. Either a really good striker, you've lost. You fought really good grapplers, you've lost. You are talking yourself as the biggest canyon I've ever seen in my entire life. And homeboy, you better put on something spectacular.
Well, that's the thing. You look at, like, okay, Damian Maia. When I face Anderson Silva, you know, my ground skills will carry me to victory. Something about that statement apparently pissed Anderson Silva off.
Apparently.
Okay, Forrest Griffin. Yeah, everybody thinks Anderson Silva's like this big, unbeatable guy. Here's the thing. We know how to beat him. Again, that pissed him off. And he went out there and crushed him.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see. I want to see a Forrest-esque type beating. Just where he shames him and dances around, but at the same time, he's punishing him.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, anyway. And, oh my God, I mean, I've heard some crazy... I mean, Tito Ortiz is the king of crazy shit-talking.
Yeah, okay? True.
But at the same point, why do you hate Anderson Silva? Well, for one thing, he speaks English. He's a liar.
Where's Pink? Number two.
I've talked to the guy. He and I had dinner. We talked. He can speak English just fine. It's like, okay. And Ed Soares, who the hell does he think he is going out there and managing him and being his translator? I don't know. He's even on the damn video game. That man's got to die.
And the Nogueiras, what about them?
And Nogueiras, their belts are their black belts are worthless because they give them to themselves. It's like going to McDonald's. I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Where'd you get your belt from there, Chael? All right. Moving on. Yeah, but just wait, folks. It's like 4 weeks or so, and then we're going to watch Anderson hopefully put this to bed, and then I'll have to find a new crazy man to make fun of on MMA.
Well, no. Like I said, I have... And as you mentioned, I have full confidence that Sonnen will continue to give us crazy little gems after Anderson pounds him into dust. God help us all if Sonnen does manage to win, because we'll have to do a whole other goddamn podcast devoted to his crazy-ass ramblings.
And the thing is, well, if we're lucky, he'll do the best-case scenario is he does a Forrest and he jumps out of the ring and runs.
I hope so.
Yeah, the other good thing is Anderson could beat him into unconsciousness. He can't do the Joe Rogan thing. Okay, you're here with Chael. Chael, you took a hell of a beating. How do you feel? Oil can! Okay, his jaw needs wired shut. He can't speak. Sorry about your political career there, Bubba. Cool. All right, moving on. There's rumors going around that Big John McCarthy is making his UFC return.
Good.
On August 1st, to the Versus card, Versus 2 card. And he would be quite possibly the referee for the headline attraction, which is John Bones Jones and the janitor, Vladimir Matyshenko.
Easing him back into is a...
Yeah.
Just pull this guy off once he's beaten him up enough.
Yeah. Look, this is really easy, John. Okay. The rather skinny-looking African-American is going to beat up the Russian guy or Polish guy, whatever, the Russian guy. And, yeah, when he's done, just stop him.
Yeah. We know you've been out of the game for a while, John. I've been refereeing Strikeforce for, like, every car that... Refereeing what?
Who? I'm sorry. What's that? What is that?
I'm sorry. Okay. Amateur cards aside.
Okay. Yeah, amateur cards aside. Have some results from Impact FC.
Go ahead. Let's hear.
All right. Let's see here. Carol Parisian defeated Ben Mortimer via submission. Rear naked choke round two. We don't know him. We don't care about him. We don't know about him. We don't care about him. Jeff Monson defeated... Oh, my God. Forgive me, man. This is going to be difficult. Ibiriton Lima Marinaho via decision. Okay.
That was hilarious. I should make you do this more often. I should make you recap the dream card.
Oh, dude, I'm so bad with these names. Ramu Tiri Sokaju defeated Joaquin Pereira via TKO punches round one. Carlos Newton got his ass handed to him by Brian Ebersole.
Did you guys? I know we lost the decision.
It was a unanimous decision. It was pretty one-sided. Yeah, Newton, unfortunately, is one of those guys you got to log in there with the game has passed you by, my friend.
Yep.
And the return of the Juicy Face Assassin, Josh Barnett.
Yes.
As he defeats Geronimo Dos Santos via TKO punches round one.
Big name.
Hey, at least Josh is out there fighting, and I don't know if they tested him, but I could only hope they did.
I don't know. Australia, probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Let's see here. There's chance Shogun could return in February for the Super Bowl card, his management is saying.
That could be a mistake. You don't want to rush your recovery, man.
Exactly.
Happened the last time you did that? A little guy named Forrest Griffin?
Yeah, remember that?
He kicked his ass, pummeled the crap out of you, and then tapped you out with a rear naked choke.
Yep.
Just saying, you may want to take that extra month if you can.
Brendan Schaub says he's ready to step up. Well, that's good because Derek Kenny needs somebody else to cheer for because, unfortunately, Jake O'Brien's pretty much done.
Get your wagon to Brendan Schaub.
Yep. Matt Serra versus Chris Lytle 2 on tap. Yes, this is for the September 25th card in Indianapolis. I said Indianapolis, man. Don't make fun of the way I talk. Screw you for judging me. I'm not going to go into the story because it's not worth it, but I just want to put it out here right now. Former Major League Baseball star turned over-the-hill MMA never-was Jose Canseco lost an exhibition fight to a 60-year-old man. And the guy isn't even worth mentioning. He's no one you've ever heard of. The bottom line is he's an old-ass 60-year-old man beat the crap out of Canseco. Now, some people are crying work.
It's a work.
And that could be. But you know what? I'll be damned if I let some 60-year-old man beat me up.
It's like Canseco's just going to start doing birthday parties, I think. This is a charity event. It's like, you know, for $500, your child, too, can beat up Jose Canseco in an exhibition boxing match.
Exactly. Okay, one last thing I want to mention here.
I beat up Jose Canseco. That'd be fun.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be fun with bats.
Chuck Liddell's birthday party is going to be the best next year.
Dad, what'd you get us? Don't worry, kids. I brought you Jose Canseco. We're just going to drink beers and hit him.
It's the human pinata, Jose Canseco.
Okay, if you had a chance, those of you who have HDNet or those of you that have a computer and you follow these type of things, XFC 11 was on Friday night, and it featured, it's called XFC 11, the next generation. The main event was a gentleman by the name of Bruce the Noose Connors, and he's a former Marine sniper. Now he's a SWAT team member, and he was taking on a friend of the show, Micah Miller. And Micah dispatched him in round one via KO, 2 minutes of round one with some vicious punches. It was so, and the funny thing is this guy looked like a Stone Cold killer, and if any of you have ever seen Micah Miller, or if you haven't seen Micah, be sure to go ahead and Google him, go look him up. Micah looks like the neighbors next door, you know, like the paper boy.
Wow.
He does, man. I mean, Micah is...
Micah and Cole.
I said it, Micah and Cole and Blake. I said it. Micah looks... I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't whoop ass. He does. I actually would be a little bit more afraid of Micah than I would of Cole. But bottom line is, I mean, he just looks like this kind of kid next door. He's got a goofy grin and everything, and he went out there with evil intentions, and he hurt this man.
Yeah, you know...
He hurt him bad.
Quality win for Micah. I'm sure if Bruce had gone, things would have gone differently.
Maybe. Yeah, if he had a gun and was 100 yards off, elevated position, perhaps things would have gone differently.
If he had a gun and was in the balcony, I'm sure he would have done much better.
The only other... I mean, there were actually some really good fights on this card.
Maybe if he came down to the ring in a ghillie suit.
Yeah, Maybe.
That would have been fun. Maybe Mike wouldn't have seen him.
Yeah, exactly.
Teaching in camouflage. That'd be
good.
Where'd
it go? Whap! Oh!
Where'd it go?
All right. Like I said, there were other good fights on here, but one that really stands out for me is Kim Couture, who was fighting with a 2-2 record, was facing a 0-0 facer by the name of Mariana Kayfetz. Mariana came out, and before this fight, Kim was like, well, with my experience and my jiu-jitsu prowess, I'm going to take this fight to the ground. Well, Kim stood there with her hands at her sides, swinging wild, looping haymakers, one of which connected and apparently really woke this Mariana Kayfetz up, because she just attacked Couture, crushed her with the right hand, dropped her, punched her about 5-6 more times, and then hooked on a triangle choke, just for good measure.
Sure, why not?
And when it was all over, the fight, Couture tapped. They pulled Kayfetz off. Kayfetz is leaping around going,
And Jesus Christ.
Sat in the middle
Shoot
of the
her with cage. A tranquilizer dart and straightjacket her up and carted her away.
Yeah, exactly. Trank her, put her in a cage, take her to the back.
Nice.
Anyway, Couture looked completely stunned and didn't do any after commentary. She didn't really have much to say then. Kim Couture, why the hell are you fighting? All right, just because your name is Couture doesn't mean you're a good fighter. There, I've said it. Be done with it. Didn't Cary Vera teach you? I mean, really? Come on. Kim Rose destroyed you. And the one article I read, it said something about...
was Kim Rose the girl that split her jaw?
Yeah, it said in her pro debut, she had her jaw broke and subsequently wired shut from the beating Kim Rose gave her, and then got brutally...
Jaw broken does not justify. It does not accurately represent. She had her jaw split down the middle.
Right.
Like a coconut, if you will. If you were to take a coconut and to drop it from a great height onto something sharp and it splits in half, that's her jaw, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about
True.
That. She was gap-toothed in that fight. Not because she's gap-toothed, but because her jaw was split in half.
This is a true story. My wife, who, if you listen to the show, I've talked about her plenty of times, she actually follows MMA. And my sister-in-law, my wife's sister...
MMA, he means Andrei Arlovsky.
And Fedor.
That's right.
Yeah. But... Oh, and well, she likes other guys, too. She loves Babalu and Shogun is her new passion.
Oh, boy.
But, of course, he's got the title.
Of course. Gold digger. That's why she used to like Arlovsky, then she jumped to Fedor. Now Fedor's taking a loss, and now bang, wow, yeah, she's a freaking gold digger. She's losing
her
money.
Anyway.
You gotta watch out, she's gone.
No kidding, my life is over. All right, anyway, so we're watching this fight with my sister-in-law, who's never really watched fights before, and she watches, and she's looking at Kim Couture, and I'm explaining, because my sister-in-law, who never follows fights, still knows who Randy Couture is. And I was like, that's his ex-wife, they got divorced about a year ago, and everything. And she's like, what's wrong with her face? And my wife has to explain to her sister about how she had herself destroyed by Kim Rose. Like, her face shattered. But what I love is this article, okay? And this particular article was written by our friends at ProMMANow.com. They wrote, and this is what they put. They said, in her pro debut, she had her jaw shattered and subsequently wired shut after the beating Kim Rose gave her, and then got brutally molested by Cary Vera.
Brutally molested?
Yep. And now this. How much longer will Couture put herself through this? And then it says, right now she's probably making some decent money based on the fact that she looks good and her name is Couture rather than being able to take a beating. At least the name will last forever. Okay. Ouch. All right. That's it for the sack, man.
All right. Guess I gotta play the music now then, huh?
Yeah, play the outro and let's call Jens and do this. God help us.
So Stitch, way to go.
I have no idea.
Maybe.
Yeah, by the way, the sack was brought to you by our friends at OhioMartialArts.com. Also, want to give a big shout out to our friends at Ground and Pound, Ground and Pound Promotions. You'll check them out at GPPMMA.com. Great new site that happened to be designed by our webmistress, Shannon Hale. From FightMichigan.com. So check everybody out. I said Shannon Hale and you didn't do anything, dude.
Oh, damn it. The play, I just screamed out Twin Cannon. What?
Oh, no. It must have shorted out your mic.
My mic was muted. Twin Cannon!
Twin
Cannon! Oh, man. If we could ever get the Screaming Pride Lady on the show, I'm going to just have her do an intro for Shannon Hale, and I'm going to call Shannon once a day, and I'm going to play...
Twin Cannon!
You're amazing.
All right.
Let's do this.
God help us.
I guess.
Part of me is almost scared. Maybe it'd be better if he doesn't answer.
Sitting in a corner, just angry, just waiting for us to call.
Where you been?
What? Hi, Jens. Fuck you.
I got it. Little dude eats more than anyone I know.
Then proceeds to go on a half-hour tirade of how much he hates
Hello?
Us.
Jens!
Yeah? Yeah.
Hey, Cheater Rings Radio. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm all right.
Not too
all
bad.
Right. Are we catching you at a bad time?
How bad is my reception, huh?
Sounds okay.
You sound good.
Oh, okay. What's going down?
All right. Well, I'm going to get right to the important question. There's some news concerning Jens Pulver. We're going to get right to it. Here it is. You're not going to hold back any longer. Jens, every time I play the new UFC game and I'm you, I kick somebody's ass. Why are you so awesome?
I mean, what? You know what? I think that's called charity. They had a little bit of pity on me, and they made me quit. They threw some good hands out there. They felt bad. Like, you know, if I was controlling Jens Pulver, this is how he'd fight, which is, you know, take the control out of my hands. And so I've got the skills. I just don't know how to use them. So I love that they made him tough enough. They made the character tell him that's how he should be. So like every day I play it. I try to play at least once a day. But I shoot takedowns all day, which is ridiculous. But, you know, I'm like, oh, I got this. So I try to develop my new style and try to figure out how to be that Jens Pulver, you know, on the game.
Well, you can do it. You know you can. Now, unless I'm mistaken, you got a fight coming up.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
Somebody told me that, huh?
No, and just to let our audience see a little backstage stuff, I texted Jens, oh, I don't know, a week or two ago, and I was like, dude, I heard you got a fight coming up. That's awesome. Who are you fighting for? He's like, I don't know. Fight on the 14th. Whatever.
I don't know. It's August 14th down in San Diego. Everybody says, who? I don't know. I mean, I do know his name, but I don't know. I mean, my coaches know. Good enough for me. I don't care to know. Like I said, I don't care. They all punch. They all kick. It's a matter of, I need to work on me. Am I going to block some of these punches? Am I going to throw another stupid right leg, fall down, get wrapped up, get arm bars? Am I going to go to a guillotine? You know, am I going to get guillotined again, rear naked chokes? Retarded stuff, you know what I mean? And I don't mean that in the literal term, but you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. It's funny, though. People be fearing for my safety. Dude, Chuck's getting knocked dead asleep by Rich Franklin and others. I mean, dead asleep. Now, don't be comparing me to him. Please, you need to stop that. He ain't caught in a choke. I need to, please, stop now. You know? So, physically, I feel great. I'm excited. But, you know, like I said, it's dumb decisions. I make dumb choices out there. Now the confidence is shot. Can I get it back? I don't know. I definitely ain't doing it for a living anymore. You know? And I'm doing it because I love it, and I'd like to fix and go out on a different note than the one I'm going out on right now.
Right, of course. Well, we don't have to get a whole lot into your opponent here. What fight, I didn't see what weight class is that, because he traditionally fights at 155.
Yeah, he's a big 55-pounder.
Yep, where do you guys, where you guys?
I'm a fighter at 55. Sure.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
Okay, what made you make the decision?
I'd have to be a small 55-pounder, you know? But I've had to keep all of my muscle, all of my strength, all of my power. I'm enjoying the fact I get to do squats and a lot of leg work again, you know. I'm enjoying that, you know. I mean, I just don't think I could make 45 if I did, you know. I mean, it's just a different frame fighting at 45.
Right.
Not that I was killing myself, but I was eating twigs and berries, literally, you know, the week of and drinking gallons of water. And I mean, I'm eating 5 times a day, but it's raw broccoli, raw cauliflower. I was getting so sick of that, you know. But... So my body just changed too much. I didn't even lift enough or have enough fun, you know. So I did it, and I thank Frankie Edgar, of all people. It is, man. It's cool. It's all right to be the small 55 pounder. You just got to work your butt off. I look at him, and actually he's a lot of inspiration as to why I like to go back up to being at least my more powerful, stronger 55-pounder than, you know, a tall, skinny 45-pounder, which is kind of like weird to say.
Right, right. Now, you mentioned before about having fun. Are you having fun now? You said you're not doing this for a living anymore?
I can't get no more fun than that.
Yeah.
I came over here to visit my mother. So I've been home. My son he stayed the night at grandma's. He just slept in the crib, in my crib that I had when I was a baby. My son just slept in it. That's about wild, man. A, it means my mom don't throw jack away, and B, it's still kind of cool, but, you know, so, yeah, I'm over here. I'm at home. If y'all knew how little I really ever come home, it's disgusting. So I went to Seattle. I got to hang out with Abel, you know, got to see everybody. So, it's, you know, we had that show. I've been trying to do this live stream, MMA Sports Network. It's rugged, but you know what? We're working. We're having fun. I'm commentating. We're watching new shows. Like, I was at a show last night. I witnessed him doing an outside show. Less than anybody doing a show outside. Less than. You put a can up even if it's not going to rain. Why? Sun. This was a black vinyl canvas. They took that tarp off for about 15 minutes. Yeah, 15 minutes. First fight came out, I was watching. They were up on their tippy toes a little bit. Then they started fighting. 2 minutes in, one was off. And all of a sudden, I looked down. Third-degree burns across the bottom of both their feet. Blisters. Blisters. Yeah. What? 2.5 hour break. I'm like, damn. And they say MMA is huge. Uh-huh. Let's go back to what I said before. UFC is gigantic. MMA is the wild, wild west of these little young trying to make a dollar. Toothpicks, man. It's awesome. So that's what I do. I'm basically got MMA Sports Network. We're going to go out there and we're going to film the Wild Wild West. And we'll see if we can't find the Billy the Kid along the way. But we're going to go out there and watch people and just film it and bring it to everybody. You know what I'm saying? So we're having a good time doing that. That's kind of my new thing. We'll do another one on the 24th. Oh, just hold on to your knickers. This one's going to be crazy. This one's going to be at the boat show. Yeah. Woo. Can't wait. I'm excited. So anyway, that's what we're doing that. Now I'm on my way home. I'm going to go fly fishing. I might stream that real quick so I watch everybody watch me fall off the boat. I have a guide service. I didn't tell anybody that, but I have a fly fishing guide service over here. So I'm going to go fish, try and catch a big hog before we take out that guy.
Sweet. Good deal, man. Well, yeah. It sounds like you're having a good time.
Yeah,
now, also,
find yourself over here in the Seattle area.
I never get over to that side. I don't get over to that side of the country, man. I'm East Coast boy all the way. I know.
No, that's what you do. How can you not? You got to come to Seattle once. I mean, damn, really, everybody. All your Circle Vane? Anyone? No? Okay.
I've heard of them.
No, you got to come to Seattle once.
It rains, man. It's always raining there. It depresses me.
It has, let me tell you something. I'm sitting in blistering heat right now, staring. You know when it rains in Seattle? From about 3 o'clock at night till about 7 o'clock in the morning. That's when it rains. That's why we tell people. It doesn't work because the Californians are still showing up, left and right, everywhere. So that's what we try to do to keep the bad men away. The rain's all day. I can't ever see this stuff. Come on now. It's terrible up here. It sucks. It's always gray. That's cold in the winter because it doesn't snow, you know? So.
Now, on this card, getting back to MMA, on this card here, man, Tim Sylvia is fighting Paul Buontello. Have you talked to Timmy at all?
No. Is he on the card?
He is. He's fighting the headhunter, Paul Buontello, on this card. Having just beaten up the weightlifting guy. What's his name? Pujanowski, that big weightlifting guy.
Pujanowski?
Yeah.
I don't know if he beat him up or if Pujanowski beat his own lungs up, because really I didn't see anybody doing anything other than one guy just got dead tired.
Tim said he beat him up.
Now, you're a former world champion. You're fighting... world's strongest man. You're fighting the world's strongest man. You're a former UFC world champion. And you maybe caused what? A black eye? The guy wore out on his own. Were you beating him up? A former champion? And you're fighting a guy who's never done this sport a day in his life. But this year, he didn't beat him up. He didn't even hurt him. He just got tired. He said, I'm done. He fell over and was, I'm tired of lifting you up off me. Seriously, don't even try to tell me that a former world champion beat up Pujanowski, because that ain't what happened. Hell no. That ain't what happened. Dude, I love Tim, but we got to be professional here. We're going to be professional. We can all sit down and talk about my losses. I'll do it all day. So, like I said, I can be just as critical of myself, if not more. But all I'm saying is, a former world champion, somebody should have taught Pujanowski a serious lesson, but they were a little tired themselves. Let's go back and look at it.
All right, so when you're not...
He's on the card, though. He's got to come in a little better shape against Brentello.
Yeah, how do you think he's going to do against the headhunter, then, if he put on such, in your, you know, basic description, a woeful performance against Pujanowski?
If he comes in that kind of fitness like he did against Ray Mercer, and he comes in that kind of fitness like he did with Pujanowski against Brentello, that's going to suck, man. This Tim's going to tire. Unless he lands the right hand, but he's going to tire.
Yeah.
I've always said, man, Tim, when he's in shape, man, is great, but you don't, when Tim's in shape, he don't weigh 330 pounds, man. In his last two fights, he's weighed well over 3+.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Why do you think he's just falling out of shape so badly?
I heard he was depressed.
Maybe just motivation? Maybe just...
Yeah.
Loves the biscuits? I don't know.
Loves the biscuits.
You know, the well, and, you know, the biggest thing is, too, is that whole thing over there, Tyler's done. It's done. I mean, you got to find your own thing. You know, everybody's gone. I think he still has the gym. I'm not saying he's not training people. Malou's making a knock at him or anything like that, but I'm saying the way that the world that we knew is over. That's done. That's been done. You know what I mean? So if you're sticking around, then maybe you can piece some things together, go to other places. You know, if he's got a camp, push it, give it 7-8 weeks and get after it, you know? Give yourself a chance, get in shape, you know?
Yep.
Because Tim can kick somebody's butt. When he's in shape, he can pound people. That's just been his downfall right now, is getting in that kind of shape, you know?
Well, since we're giving our opinions on other fighters, Uriah Faber's been making news because he's planning on making a move. I'm sorry?
Oh, go ahead. No, please, that's it. I'll rip on me last time.
Okay. Uriah Faber is making news because he's moving down to 135 pounds, having been in the cage with him twice. How do you think he's going to handle the drop to 135?
I think he'll be fine. Like you said, he wrestled at 35, you know. What I feel bad for is people like Scotty Jorgensen and people who have fought five times and, you know, won the last four fights and really made a good standout thing because, I don't care who you are, you know damn good and well who's getting the next title fight after Benavidez. It's an all-Sacramento card, period. It's an all-AMP deal. It's going to go right to your eyes. I told Scotty, I go, you're the new Chuck Liddell. You know, you got to keep fighting the number one guy while Tito fights this dude or Tito, you know, or no one, you won't get a title shot. You got to keep fighting the number one guy. There for a while, back in the day when Chuck was trying to get that title shot, remember, he'd have to fight some ball. The next round, fight the next number one contender, then the next one was there. He kept feeling like he was getting put off. They said it's about to happen to guys like Scotty. It's like, yeah, man, you just got to keep fighting the number one dude. I go, because Dominique's going to fight Benavidez. If he beats him, you got to go another show that he won't be fighting on. He'll take one off, and then you put him in the next show. All right, now Uriah's fighting him, and then Scotty takes one off. And he's like, so maybe in a year and a half or 2 years from now, you'll get your title shot. I hope you keep winning. That's going to really suck saying the chair that you're on right now.
Right.
But outside of that, hey, whatever you want to do, I mean, he belongs at 35. Just feel bad, man, you know?
I never even considered that, actually.
Dude, I know. How come nobody has, really? Look at the three poster boys. Ironic. Chop him down to 35, and he's going for another title shot right after his teammate fights for the title. You know what would be real funny? This is the part I'm going to love. If his teammate wins the title, then what are you going to do? Fight each
other? That's true. That's true. They'll have a problem.
They ain't doing a third, unless it's right. It's funny how they say, you know, first thing, and this is what I tell WC. No, I'm not mad. I mean, and let me just say right now for the record, they should have let me go. I deserve to be let go. I lost five times or four times. Nobody should have been kept. I'm very thankful for what they did. This is not an anger. I'm not mad. I have nobody to blame but myself for the loss. What I'm saying is just from the straight business, looking at it, like I said, Scotty's a friend of mine. We train together. I help him get ready for fights. He's fighting a bad boy from London here coming up. You know what I mean? And this kid can hit like a ton of bricks. Scotty, if he finishes this fight, he should be getting the title shot. But guess what? That ain't going to happen. He ain't going to get that title shot because Uriah's going to go, boom, boom. July's going to lose, win, title shot. I mean, this is how it goes. So, you know, it's like, you know, you have other champions. The WC should build them. You know, I mean, build them. I'm sorry. I don't see him building Aldo at all. If I was you, I'd be betting everything on Jose Aldo. Like, you leave there, keep bet on Kimbo. But I see Jose won't fail. I'd be betting the house on Jose Aldo. He's sick. He's disgusting. That dude is just phenomenal. But I don't see Amp Energy going on his shorts. So Amp Energy comes in, gets Uriah and his boys, and guess what we all get told? Hey, you don't get no energy drinks. These guys bought the rights. They're the only energy drink. Oh, but they don't sponsor everybody? Awesome. Love you guys. Let me go get my amp right now, please. Sorry, I needed some shotgun practice anyway.
Oh,
no, I mean, there's a fact. I mean, how stupid is that, for real? I mean, that's retarded. I mean, you can get mad at me all you want, but it's a fact. You know what, back in the day with No Fear. You know what, I love Rockstar. I'd love to go out there and win a Rockstar patch. Guess what, can't. Why? No Fear had the exclusive rights. Of course, they sponsored Uriah. Oh, awesome. And now Amp Energy. Well, there's No Fear now. Yeah, I give them a call. See if they still have their logo up there. Oh, they can't? Why? Oh, Amp Energy now sponsors. I'm just saying. The whole exclusivity thing sucks, man. I hate that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty crap.
I'm not down to do other energy drinks.
Yeah, because one guy's getting sponsored that, you know, nobody else can have any other energy drinks.
They're going to throw this poster in his face everywhere. And again, I'm not talking back if he beat me. That's what I'm saying. I mean, the thing is, you know what? Here's the thing. They're throwing these guys up in this commercial about bringing the WC to your town. None of them are champions. You got three belt holders you're not even putting out there. Not to yell out loud, but damn. Put your champions on that poster. You got three guys from Sacramento. They aren't even a champ. Seriously? Well, they draw the names. Do they? The 1.5 minute everybody watched was Jess Pulver versus Uriah Faber. Not Uriah Faber versus Benavidez. You know what I'm saying? Toby Allen is a killer. Dylan. You know what I'm saying? Tommy Cruz is a killer. Builder. Dude's sick. I don't think he's got an amp energy. He might get a cow. He walks out there, you know. Y'all just caught me in the shouldn't answer that question. But I love it, but I'm just saying, I don't like that, you know what I mean? I just don't like, your champion should be what's built. Otherwise, why the hell be a champion? I'd rather just go train in Sacramento.
Well, apparently, yeah, that's all they're going to push. And it's been noticed, although it's looking more and more like just basically the WEC itself is going to disappear anyway. It's all going to be UFC now. So they're just pushing the face instead, and they're going to dissolve their championships is what they're talking about.
Not looking forward to that day.
No, me either.
Not at all.
Wait, what do you mean? They're going to just do what? Just give it a WC out here and just put all the weight class in the UFC?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about. So maybe. Who knows if that'll happen. It might.
I already told them what to do. It's already the right thing to do. The UFC max. 154 down. Keep it there. Those little guys will call UFC, UFC Max, UFC to the Max, whatever. I don't know.
I like that.
But they don't. They'll just call UFC, whatever. But it's like when K1 did the K1 Max, is all the 154 and under pounder, you know, small guys in the Muay Thai, but they let everybody know by calling it K1. You know, hey, K1, K1 Max, just like little guys. I don't know. It kind of makes sense.
Well, UFC won't do that just because they'll want to be original. They may come up with some other catchy name for it, you know, or they may just complain, oh, well, that's separating our brand, and all we want to keep, you know, the UFC name as strong as we can, so blah, blah, blah. Same reason that they'll never, ever get rid of that octagon, no matter how many, you know, strikes there are against it.
I love the octagon. Yeah, I love the octagon. No, I mean, but that's cool. I mean, if they're going to bring them all into the UFC, that's cool, too. I was just saying, if they were... Because for the longest time, they were trying to keep them separate. Well, if you're trying to keep them separate, but still somehow be the same, UFC Max. Sick. UFC Psycho. I don't care. UFC Little Guy. Whatever.
UFC Little Guys. UFC Junior.
There you go. Exactly. Little UFC, you know? Something like that. That'd be kind of cool. But, no, I don't know. I mean... It just depends. I think that'd be kind of fun to do, but if they're all going to just bring them all in, that's cool. Like, I just want to see the little guys be able to fight, you know? I think they prove that they can be exciting, you know? I think that it's worth having. So, you know, like I said, I let them down anyway. I mean, I lost five times. I'm terrible. So I shouldn't even have an opinion. I just, it's like an old man sitting on a chair just barking. Talking duty.
Everybody gets a good opinion.
Want to say it for a while? My wife asked me a question. She said, we may have to leave this beautiful mountain, or we're going to head to Idaho. Can't go lost with him. He always drives late. We have to drive in the middle of the night because we're idiots like that. So.
Well, real quick, so we don't have to steal you from your wife for too long, man. Talk about Driven.
I've done myself in a big enough hole. Let's keep cranking, huh?
Talk about Driven, man. Let us. What's going on with as far as the film goes?
Oh, the film is insane. I mean, the guy keeps pulling out these little tidbits. They're nuts. You know, he does a great job of glorifying my loserisms. You know, how bad it is, what it's like to be punk. You know, it's awesome. You know, it's pretty cool, man. He's done an incredible job. Yes, he's caught the crying and the whining just in the perfect light that makes. You know, it's actually pretty wild, man. It's pretty cool. It's, you know, the road that he went, I was blown away just looking at it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, and man, it's incredible. You know, so I'm excited. I think August, something like that, we'll be doing this.
Okay.
I wish they'd let it go during Comic-Con. That'd be sick, you know.
Oh, yeah, it would.
Because with my new sponsor, Alienware, we're going to go down to Comic-Con and set it up for a few days. That's going to be nasty. This month, too.
Sweet. All right, man. Well, hey, look, thank you so much once again for coming and bailing us out and coming on the show. Always a pleasure, dude, and we will definitely be keeping an eye on your fight and watching you whoop some ass. And one way or the other.
All right, you know, I appreciate it.
I'll still be getting a hold of you, so, you know. Jensen, thanks a lot.
Any time, you know that. Now I'm going to start twittering. You know, y'all know that Jens underscore bold was follow away. I'll even send a picture of my barefoot and entice somebody to watch it. I'll be around for sure. You guys get up anytime.
All right, thanks, buddy. Take it easy.
Okay, brother.
Take care, Jens.
Nice guy.
Nice guy.
I love Jens Pulver. I do. I would. Oh man, it's a toss up. Boss Rutan, Jens Pulver, and Dean Thomas would be the three guys I would interview any week, every week.
Truth.
Just have them on, talk to them. Good Lord. UFC little guys. I like it.
UFC Junior. So we'd be going over the Dream 15 card now?
Yeah, let's do this.
Kazuhiro Nakamura defeats Carl Amasu by unanimous decision. A little bit surprising, I think, for fans of Japanese MMA, but Nakamura's a tough guy.
He is. Very tough guy.
Schiavello kept calling the grinder like he's the Japanese John Fitch or something.
Yeah. The grinder.
Or,
except he said the grinder.
The grinder.
The grinder.
We talked about this a little bit before the show, but, you know, I'm at an impasse. I'm kind of on the fence here about Michael Schiavello.
His truth-telling style bothers me.
Because,
personally.
Well, no. Like I said, you know, I always dog on Strikeforce for having such horrifically bad commentary. We're here at the San Jose Arena, otherwise known as the Shank Tark.
The Shank Tark. And you don't even correct
go
yourself.
Go back and watch it. He never said anything wrong.
Yeah, Gus.
You know, so I dog them. I personally have nothing wrong with Rogan and Goldie. Yeah, Goldberg can get to be a little annoying at times. And yeah, Rogan's biased. Fine. And I hate Frank Mir. So, you know, I always have something to say about commentary teams. Schiavello's been around for a while. You know, he's done K1 events, and, you know, now he's the Dream's, you know, main color guy, and he does a lot of the HDF fights, so I'm told, because I don't get it, because I'm in New York. And I was just thinking, what do I think of this guy, you know? At first, knee-jerk reaction, he's a retard, okay? It's first thing in my mind. He has all these stupid little sayings and stuff. But then, you know, I sat there, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, you know what? Let me really listen to this guy and really critique his commentary, all right? And here's what I found.
Okay.
Number one, the guy seems like he does his homework, Like, he knows what he's talking about, and he seems very genuinely enthused about what he like Strikeforce. Gus Johnson, like, this guy could be doing MMA, or he could be, you know, commentating darts, and he would have the same level of enthusiasm.
Guys, we're on TV, guys. Come on, national TV.
I don't think it would matter to him, you know? It's just right. He's just some talking head that CBS has plunked in there. You know, I could see Schiavello doing the exact same thing he does in Dream Card, sitting on his couch at home, just watching a Dream Card.
Look at him, he's a grinder. I can't believe it. That's amazing.
Popcorn goes flying. You know, I could see him doing the same thing, so I do appreciate his enthusiasm. I personally like his truth-telling style. No, because it's not him telling us that, you know, this guy who has, you know, lost his last three fights in a row is a serious threat to, you know, Shinya Aoki or something, you know. Yeah, I know sometimes it's disrespectful to the guy he's fighting, but come on, let's be realistic here, you know. And you know what? If the other guy wins, then it makes it all the more exciting because, oh, this guy was supposed to lose, but he didn't lose, you know, and then, a, you know, then that kind of drama gets built around that, and then the guy can get built up that way. As far as his silly little sayings, I genuinely think the guy has some form of, like, some strange form of Tourette's. Like, he just doesn't seem like he knows that he's saying. He just says it. It's not like Mauro Ranallo when he makes a, you know, a stupid pun or whatever. He kind of pauses and lets you absorb it. He just, like, he says something ridiculous. You know, he's beating him worse than my father beat my mother. And then he keeps going like nothing ever happened. Like, nothing was ever said. I don't get it. I genuinely think the guy just doesn't know that he's doing this, maybe.
Right.
He's watching the DVD at home, and he's like, I said that? But I think Schiavello, on, like, the ranking system of MMA announcers, is certainly above the Strikeforce crew.
I wouldn't argue that at all. You're definitely right there.
If they, like, shot all of the Strikeforce crew and then put in Schiavello, Schiavello does a decent enough job announcing that it makes me forget I hate Frank Trigg. Because I'm listening to him, really? And he's taken away, you know, he's taking away from the hatred I have for Frank Trigg. He's just kind of like calming me down a little bit. So maybe if you put him in there with Frank Shamrock, maybe I wouldn't hate Frank Shamrock as much.
Oh, Frank, you're such a wanker.
Frank with Shamrock, and he does that little Japanese thing with Trigg's name, and I don't get it. Like I said, I think the guy's just crazy. But you know, they could put him in Strikeforce. They could plug him in. I would not mind seeing him, you know, listening to him. He does not want to make me turn off the broadcast like Strikeforce guys do. So originally, I wrote him off, thought he was an idiot. Schiavello, you have clearly a debilitating speech impediment. I can't fault you for that. So going on to the actual card,
right.
As I said, Nakamura defeats Amasu by unanimous decision. Mitsuhiro Ishida defeats Daiki Hata, DJ Daiki Hata, by unanimous decision, just doing what he does. Double-legging people and just pounding the crap out of them. Good old Ishida, can't finish a slice of pizza, as I once heard. But he's a good fighter.
Yes.
Michihiro Omagawa defeats Yung Sam-Yung. Big surprise. Maybe the only surprise being that it took him this long to finish him. Guillotine choke, 7 minutes, 31 seconds in the first round.
Oh, you're so harsh with your truth-telling style.
I used to listen to what Schiavello said about him. Tatsuya Mizuno defeats Melvin Manhoff by submission Kimura, 7 minutes, 38 seconds in the first round, and the downslide of Melvin Manhoff continues.
Dude.
Man, you know, Manhoff looked good. He's going to kick the crap out of this guy in the beginning, and then all of a sudden he decides, maybe I'll try this whole ground game thing. And gets Mizuno to the ground, gives him time to recover. Mizuno tries to work some submissions. Manhoff kind of, you know, swims around in his guard and tries throwing some ground and pound, which he's not very good at because he is a kickboxer. And they end up getting back to their feet, and I don't know if it was just the ground and pound actually wore out Manhoff more than it did Mizuno, but Manhoff looked very tired, and Mizuno put a couple of good shots on him to put Manhoff on his back and pounded away at him and slapped on a Kimura, and Manhoff had no choice but to tap. Very surprising. So now we're going to get...
Very surprising.
Tetsuya Mizuno advancing to the heavyweight Grand Prix Finals. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And, Manoff, you know, maybe he shouldn't, you know, be fighting guys who are a weight class 2, 3, 4 weight classes above him. In the case of Mark Hunt, maybe he should stick to being a 185er.
Yeah, definitely.
He was kicking the Jesus out of Robbie Lawler until he got, you know, knocked out stone dead. But, or maybe this is just the specter of Melvin Manhoff has worn off, and he's just not as effective when people aren't as afraid of him. You know, he's beatable now. So,
yeah, true.
Gigart and Musashi defeats the Pillsbury Doughboy. Damn it, I screwed it up.
The Pillsbury Doughboy.
Pillsbury Doughboy. God. Ah! Damn it. Defeats Jake O'Brien by submission guillotine choke, 31 seconds into the first round.
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Jake O'Brien comes in at a whopping 20 pounds overweight.
Yeah, he was approximately, it was estimated he was 20 pounds overweight. By the fight time, he got down to 7 pounds overweight.
How nice of him. Somebody should let him know that you're supposed to do that the other way around.
Yeah. Exactly. You put the weight on after the weigh-in, huh? Oh.
Not only that, but Mr. Genius Jake O'Brien, you know, who was told by the doctor that it's not medically safe for him to cut any more weight at this time, then decides to leave the weigh-in and cut more weight. Oh, freaking... This is pathetic. I mean, Jake O'Brien walks in there, just basically hands him a standing guillotine. Gegard Mousasi gets the easiest paycheck he's going to get in a long freaking time.
Mm-hmm.
And plus 10%.
Yeah.
And not much else to say. He's going to be taking on Tetsuya Mizuno in the finals and probably have a decently easy ride there, too.
Yeah, more than likely.
Maybe. Who knows? Maybe Tetsuya Mizuno's a killer. And
we just didn't know it.
Maybe. Jay-Z Cavalcante, who they kept referring to as Jay-Z Kelvan. Like, you can't see the guy's...
Yeah. I know, I didn't quite understand that.
This is the land of, you know, fighter names like Kazuhiro Nakamura and Michihiro Omigawa. It's not too many syllables. Come on.
Jay-Z Kelvan.
It's like the teleprompter just ran out of space.
Tell him what I want to call him, Roundai Guailo.
Defeats Katsunori Kikuno, but they managed to put that whole thing on there by decision, although I'm kind of surprised. Jay-Z had the dominant position most of the fight. Yeah, really couldn't get it done.
Right.
And but still, I thought that it was pretty clearly a win for Jay-Z Kelvan.
I will say this. You know, Jay-Z trains out of ATT with our occasional co-host, Blake Bowman. And, you know, before this fight, Bowman, Cole, Micah, all the ATT guys are like, oh, Jay-Z's going to go over there, whoop that ass. He's going to crush everybody. He's going to kill everybody. Yeah, woo! Okay, he goes over there. He gets the win. And,
certainly not a crushing.
No, the only thing from ATT was a very solemn hymn. Congratulations to Kelvin Conte. Good job.
Cheers, you, Kelvin Conte.
Thank you very much for playing. you know, but hey, you know, a win's a win's a win, and who knows? I'm not here to say why he didn't do what I thought he would do, or why he barely won the fight, but, you know, whatever.
And then our main event of the evening, Shinya Aoki defeats Tetsuya Kawajiri by submission Achilles lock. 1 minute 53 seconds of the first round.
Ankle shattering.
Yeah, Shinya Aoki pretty much goes immediately for Kawajiri's leg and then locks onto it. And then Kawajiri thrashes around for about a minute and a half like he's caught in a bear trap. And then and then Aoki decides, okay, I'm going to end this now, leans back slightly, and then shatters Kawajiri's ankle.
Yep.
Actually, I don't know if there was any, you know, significant damage to Kawajiri other than the fact that I'm sure that really hurt, but I don't know.
They're saying it's at least sprained. This is all that's been announced so far. It's at least sprained, but people are saying it totally broke.
Seriously, it was literally just like Kawajiri was like, just, I don't know if maybe Aoki was...
He had to get carried out. So, I mean, if that tells you anything...
I don't know if Aoki was just, like, holding on to him because he was bored. Like, yeah, let me just drag this out a little bit. Let me earn my pay. But
it was more like, I've got your leg. If you don't give up, you know I'm going to do it. You know I'm going to do it.
Kawajiri tried everything short of a freaking crowbar to get out of this thing, and to no avail. And literally, it was like, Shinya Aoki just kind of, like, did, like, the hip-hop lean back, and boof, there goes the ankle.
Now explain this to me, man. I was on MMAnews.com, I like to go ahead and skim all the websites, especially all the bigger ones related to MMA. And this particular one, some genius over there put up the thing, is Aoki back? All right, where did he go? All right, he lost a disappointing decision, a loss. Okay, and now he's screaming for Melendez. He wants to fight Melendez in Dream.
You know what? And I honestly think he'll do much better in Dream.
I think he will too.
Than he did in the U.S. And you know what? He could very well win that fight. Here's the thing: is you know, people are saying, you know, these fighters are, you know, these Dream fighters are going over Strikeforce, getting their ass kicked. Yeah. Okay. Fine. But Strikeforce fighters, with the exception of like Nick Diaz, who's just going to be great no matter where he goes. The Strikeforce fighters have not been coming over there. You know, people really don't appreciate the fact that these are two different worlds, not just in culture and countries, but this is in a ring. This has a 10-minute first round. You know, I mean, you watch that Aoki Melendez fight. Almost every takedown Aoki tried to get on
Melendez.
On Melendez. Thank you. I forgot who he was fighting. Was stopped
El Nino.
Because El Nino's back hit the cage.
Right.
In Dream, that doesn't happen. His back hits the ropes, but you know what? Aoki can still get his arms around him, turn him off, drag him down. You know, or jump guard.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying that Melendez wouldn't have still beat him.
Right.
But, you know, it's a completely different world.
Well, I think they proved this, too. I mean, for years, back when Pride FC was, you know, the big, the anti-UFC, and everyone talked about, well, Pride fighters are so much better. And everyone, no, UFC guys are better. I think they proved, effectively, when the UFC bought Pride and brought the Pride guys over, most of them, I'd say the lion's share, did not do nearly as well in the cage. And this is like Miracle Krokop, who was just an absolute killer in Pride, could not adapt to the cage.
Yeah, and everybody said, oh, well, see, UFC is better. You know what? If things go
no,
down,
it's
yeah,
where
the
fight
the
it's where the fight
around,
takes place.
You know, and the Pride company buys out UFC, and they all start flying their asses over to Japan. Maybe it goes completely differently.
Correct. I totally agree with you.
And that's the thing is when you have a fighter who has been, you know, fighting pretty much his whole career in under one set of rules and in one style of fighting venue in a ring, and then another fighter who's been doing it, you know, this way and been fighting in a cage for so long, and you put them together, the only way you're going to really find out who's the better fighter is if you do one fight in each.
I agree.
And then if they draw, they draw. Or you do a third fight in, I don't know, the Yama.
Let them fight in a sumo ring.
There you go. Open mat.
Open mat.
That's the thing, is you got to do one each. Because if you don't, then all it really proves is that, you know, if the guy who, you know, if ring fighter goes over and gets beat by cage fighter in a cage, it's just, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that cage fighter is a better fighter. It just means he won in the atmosphere he's more comfortable in.
Correct, yeah.
Now, if a ring guy goes over and beats cage fighter in the cage, then, you know, maybe you can make the argument that he's the better fighter, but that so rarely happens because those two are so drastically different. I think people really don't appreciate how much different it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you're a really good basketball player, and you're just really, really good at playing basketball. And then you play against a guy, and you're playing basketball, but it's underwater.
No. Well, that's a little extreme, but yeah,
okay,
I know what you're
saying. Basketball
player,
but he's been playing underwater basketball like his whole freaking life. Underwater basketball player is probably going to win. Now, mind you, I don't know how you would play basketball underwater, but it's just a hypothetical thing.
It's like saying, let's say, street ball versus NBA type deal.
Yeah. Or Greco-Roman versus freestyle.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
You know, you have a guy who's undefeated as a freestyle wrestler. You take him up against a guy who is 75% as a Greco-Roman wrestler, but it's a Greco-Roman wrestling match. Greco-Roman guy's probably going to win.
Right.
Does it mean he's better? No. It's a set of rules that he's more used to.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you give freestyle guy six fights under Greco-Roman rules, you know, he might beat 75% Greco-Roman guy. This guy can win 75% Greco-Roman. All right, I'm rambling. I'm just saying.
He might beat 75% Greco-Roman guy.
He might beat 75% of Greco-Romans out there.
Because Greco-Romans are loose in your town, people. They are right now combing the streets, marauding for flesh.
They are plotting, and they will be running the streets rampant very soon. Don't say we didn't warn you. Rings Radio has given you the chance to prepare.
Greco-Roman. Just don't worry, they won't shoot for your legs.
That's right. Watch out for the clinch, people.
Yeah, avoid the clinch at all costs. All right, and this has gone on long enough. Time to stick the fork in it.
But before we wrap up, so Aoki, is he back? I agree with you. I don't think he's gone anywhere. And you know what? We see Melendez and Aoki in Dream. It could go completely differently. I hope we do see it. Because you know what? Even if Melendez wins, then he's beyond the shadow of a doubt the better fighter. Unquestionably. Right. So, that's it.
Uh-huh.
Let's play that fancy music.
All right. Hey, I want to give big thanks to everybody, our friends at Ground and Pound, also Ohio Martial Arts, also Fight Michigan. Be sure to go check them out. And, catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter, MySpace. I might be at your house. You don't know.
That's creepy.